Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It is time for the Fans Footballer of the Year Awards. I'm Andrew Musgrove, joined by our chief Newcastle United writer, Lee Ryder. Lee, how are you doing during this international break, the World Cup? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, absolutely loving it. I've pretty much watched every minute of every game, so it's been different, but I've really enjoyed the tournament. And you know, some of the games yesterday just were fantastic. The Cameroon game I thought was brilliant. Even Portugal last night, I've really enjoyed the football element of it. It's been really good.
Yeah, some amazing games, some big shocks as well. So it's been a great tournament to watch. We've taken this opportunity at Chronicle Live and at Reach PLC to launch this year's Fans Footballer of the Year. And you've picked four Newcastle United players. You've nominated four Newcastle United players to be within the running of winning the Newcastle United Fans Footballer of the Year. And one of them has also been nominated for the Fans Footballer of the Year across the whole of the British game. So we'll get onto that later in the show. But before we run through your nominations, Lee, I'd just like you to tell our listeners and viewers what you're looking out for, what criteria you put forward when you do go to pick the Newcastle United Fans Footballer of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be, it's not only just about contributions sort of in a game. It's not just assists and goals. It's about work rate. It's about influence on the pitch. It's about how that player, how much of a success a player has been since they've joined the club. It's many different factors all pitched together. Sometimes that can be reflected in the match day merit marks as well, which I know causes some nice healthy debate. But look, I think really coming to a Newcastle United, coming to a club like Newcastle United, I think it's, they always used to say about signing players, they can be a good player, but can they handle life on the big stage at Newcastle United? Can they handle the intensity at Newcastle United? And I think the candidates we've picked this year certainly have proven that they can deal with the day-to-day expectancy and you know what they've got to produce on a match day as well. So that's pretty much the way I look at assessing players.
So what I'll do is I'll read the names you've picked, then we'll get into a bit more detail about why. So you've picked Kieran Trippier, or whether you've nominated Kieran Trippier, Bruno Guimarães, Joe Linton, and Almiron. I'm just wondering, this time around, because we've done this for quite a few years now, and Alan St. Maximin was the winner the previous 2 years. Given Newcastle's form and kind of the improvement in the squad with the windows and who they've signed, was it easier or was it harder to pick a list of four? Because I don't know about you, but previously, and you might correct me on this, I think it was maybe always issuing that Alan St. Maximin would win player or the fans player of the year, given he was always the star man. But this time around, it seems like the pool is much wider, and there's probably a couple of names that haven't been picked. People might say, well, they'd be on our list.
Yeah, I mean, just while we're on about St. Maximin as well, he really bought into the Chronicles sort of player of the year thing the last couple of years, put it on his Twitter. We presented him with the trophy for doing it. The Planet Trophies in Killingworth provided with that. And obviously, he was really invested in it and delighted to win it, which is great for us because it means that you know the players are on board with the local media. So big thanks to Alan St. Maximin for that. This year, unfortunately, not on the list. Has had some good games, but sadly, players have played more matches than him, but I'm sure he'll come again. And so the players, do you want to go through who've done this year?
So we'll start with Kieran Trippier. Obviously in England duty with them in the World Cup, he's started the both games there. He's really, I think, for many, Lee, been the catalyst for what has happened at Newcastle over the last few months or so. Leader on and off the pitch. Why is he your first name on the list for this year's Fans Football of the Year?
Yeah, I think ever since he stepped off the plane when we signed him from Atletico Madrid, I think the fans have been really excited with him. And we talk about merit marks we give during games. Well, I would be very surprised if he's had lower than an 8 in a game this season. Well, this year. And, you know, he's had a few 9s, a few 10s. Just really has, you know, brought the level up at Newcastle. We used to have a lot of guaranteed 6s and 7s in the team, but to get a player who's a guaranteed 8 most matches is fantastic. And, well, I mean, where do you start really with him? It's, you know, he's tackling, he's passing, he's crossing, he's got goals in him as well. But then there's the influence, the encouragement. You know, he galvanises the team. And I think probably if I could like sort of sum it up in one moment, it would probably be away at Tranmere in the League Cup, where Newcastle were 1-0 down, they were struggling. Tranmere were on top in the game and threatening to score another goal. And then Kieran Trippier came on as sub. Newcastle had a set piece at that time. He just quickly reorganised everything. Within minutes, Newcastle got an equaliser. That I think he swung the ball in for that, and they went on to win the game 2-1. And you know, it was crisis, what crisis? So that was an example of it. Crystal Palace in the League Cup again comes on as sub, reorganises it, and you know, got everyone organised again for the penalties and scored one of those important penalties himself. So. Yeah, I just think overall he's just been a really good signing, a bargain signing. He was the new owners' first buy, coming from Atletico Madrid. And, he's probably already a club legend.
Ross Neal says Trippier has been awesome. We spoke there about his attributes on the pitch, and you mentioned the organisation that he brings. I love watching him, you know, especially after Newcastle score a goal as well. He's the first person just to say, right, calm down, get back into position, because it's that old cliche that, you know, you're most vulnerable probably when you have just scored a goal. And you've mentioned a few points during the last year, which kind of emphasises why he's in this list. How important was it, Lee, his influence during the time he was injured? Because a lot of players might go home, they might kind of go away from the camp while they get, you know, back to fitness. But he was very much involved behind the scenes, even though he was on crutches for most of last season. After picking up that injury against Villa, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was an unfortunate moment, but I think it summed up his character that he came back and played last season and has come back and played not only this season, but been playing at the World Cup as well. So that, for me, sums up his character. As you say, when he wasn't on the pitch, he was still around the squad in the dressing room with the players, and I think that's huge. And it's almost like this sort of Tom Brady syndrome, if you want to compare it to like NFL, where, you know, you just got that presence that everyone respects, players respect them. You know, I've been standing in tunnels talking to him, and, you know, people like Kevin De Bruyne are walking past and desperate to have a quick chat and shake his hand. So that sums up the influence of the guy. Long may it continue.
Yes, fingers crossed. The next name we'll talk about is Bruno Guimarães. He is in this list, but he's also in the national vote, which we'll get onto after we hear Lee's reasons for why Guimarães is in the list. I suppose, Lee, what you're going to say, whatever you're going to say, is probably going to be no surprise to those watching and listening, because for many people, Guimarães has been probably the signing of the new era. But then again, we've got so many to pick from. But why is Guimarães in your list?
Yeah, I mean, what can you say that hasn't already been said about him? He's been fantastic, and he was really, you know, it was a slow sort of progression of him getting in the team, and then obviously steps on the big stage at Southampton, scores a back heel volley away at Southampton, and you know how many players have got the audacity to step on the Premier League field and do that sort of thing. But look, you just knew within probably a couple of games, and probably the Leicester game sticks out a lot, where he scored the two goals, in a crucial game against Leicester, which, you know, helped Newcastle stay up. And I just think everything about him, his passing, you know, he's even his sort of set plays when he'll take over a free kick from distance and chip one in. And then he's obviously brought goals to the table as well, which nobody expected that. No one expected him to be a goal scorer. Everyone just thought he was going to be a defensive midfielder, but he can play further up. He can be an 8. He can be a 10. If he wants to, I think he actually does want to. The times I've spoke to him, he said he wants to score more goals. I mean, he's just so dedicated, driven, sitting, you know, in his spare time watching Alan Shearer DVDs, things like that, investing in the history. You know, he's come out and said it. I want to be a legend at the club. And from a Newcastle fans' point of view, you know, they've got one of the, well, I think he was probably top one of the top 20 midfielders in the world in January when they signed him. But I don't know, maybe he's moved up to the top 15 now and could go even further if he stays in the team with Brazil and they win the World Cup.
You've done an article listing those you've nominated. I've put it into the comments there. That's where you guys can vote as well. And in there, that on Gumrush Lee, you say he's bringing Champions League quality to Eddie Howe's squad. And I think a lot of people, if they take a step back, will ask just how on earth Newcastle United managed to sign Bruno Gumrush back in that January when relegation was a real, real possibility. And yet they've gone out and they managed to persuade this midfielder who, as you said, quite rightly, was one of the best midfielders in Europe and is still today. How on earth did they manage to persuade him to come to Newcastle United in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's double sort of marks to the recruitment staff on that one, because if you think about it, if we go back 12 months ago now, you had, I think it was Juventus were thinking about signing him, PSG were sort of linked with him, Arsenal were linked with him, and I don't think they were quite sure, and then Newcastle just got a little hint that he might be available, and got a private plane sent over to Brazil. Steve Nixon was on hand to get that deal done, and Newcastle, you know, when the rumours started circulating in France and South America, you know, we checked them and we were told straight away, yep, this is. You can start getting your back pages ready because he's on his way, and Newcastle signed him, and yeah, he's just been a, you know, one of these just star quality players. As I say, Champions League quality. The biggest issue Newcastle are going to have now is holding on to him. Of course, hopefully we can win something, get in the Champions League. He at least needs Champions League football to keep him on board. But you know, even in the last month or so, Real Madrid again have been linked, Barcelona have been linked, and that. That's when you know you've got a top quality performer on your hands.
And right at the start, you mentioned it was a bit of a slow burn. He didn't get in the side right away. It was a kind of a test of his character as well, because when you arrive for that amount of money at a club which is, you know, facing a battle for survival, a player of that kind of talent might automatically assume that I'm going to arrive and I'm going to go straight in that squad. But it took him a fair few games to get in, simply because of the likes of Joe Linton and Willock and Shelby, but performing so well, but didn't kick up a foot. He just got his head down, worked hard, took his opportunity when he came. And I guess, amongst everything he's done, that was probably a really big plus for Eddie Howe, who, of course, did the tests, no doubt, on his attitude and whether he'd fit into the squad. But then to see it in person, him not kicking up a foot and just getting on with it, he would have been dead happy with that.
Yeah, and that, I think Eddie Howe's probably referenced it a few times in his press conference, that the character and the personality of the player probably helped on that one. Didn't kick up with us. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't delighted about it, but it's the way you go about your business. If you're gonna kick up a fuss before you even get started, then you know you've got a problem. And let's be honest, Newcastle have had players who've come in from around Europe, you know, different places where they haven't got a game, but it just hasn't worked out. But this one. This transfer has been, you know, probably 10 out of 10 in terms of the recruitment side of it, the player coming over, the player being integrated, the player going on the pitch and putting in man-of-the-match performances and just showing what player he is. And probably the best, probably one of the best moments for me wasn't one of the goals, as good as they were, was probably at, early in the season. I think it was against Man City, and he put in some like really tough tackle near the east stand, and then like jumped up and celebrated the tackle as if it was a goal, and it just set the tone in that game. And it was just like, you know, Man City, you're coming here, you're gonna have to live with our intensity levels. And yeah, it's just been a rip roaring success, and as I say, hopefully we'll hold on to him.
Does he set the bar, Lee, for maybe what's to come in terms of player rivals in the future? You know, and in many ways, the expectation maybe of what's to come maybe needs to be put down just slightly, because you're not always going to find a Bruno Guimarães. He's not always going to be that kind of player. He's not always going to be available, but it certainly will get people thinking towards the future and rubbing their hands at the quality that's to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah, I mean, it's Newcastle will either try to manage the expectations on that score or see it as a challenge to go and find another player just like him, just like Trippier. They've both been big successes, and they've shown that. I mean, they took a gamble. Bruno took a gamble coming here. Trippier took a gamble coming here because Newcastle were staring relegation in the face. Let's be honest. They were staring relegation in the face this time last year. And I think neither player asked for a get-out clause, a relegation release clause, no minimum fee, release clause, anything like that. They're here because they want to be here. And, you know, they've shown the type of character and personality Newcastle have got to try and, you know, continue to get now.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting for fans heading into the next couple of windows. Guimarães is nominated in the nationwide vote, which is over on the Mirror's website. I'll pop the link into the comments in a moment, but I'll just read through some of the nominations because he's going to have his work cut out if he's going to win this one. So he's nominated alongside Kevin De Bruyne, Erling Haaland, Harry Kane, James Maddison, Beth Mead, Bukayo Saka, Mohamed Salah, and Heung-Min Son. Some of the best players, Lee, that the Premier League's got to offer, and of course there, Beth Mead, who had England's success. I guess the fact he's nominated alongside these players is a massive compliment to his performance in the English game in such a short space of time.
Yeah, I think if he has a good second half to the season, then you know you are talking about a national award, and for me, that would be richly deserved. But he's a player that doesn't rest if he doesn't get it right. You know, when he missed the penalty against Crystal Palace, you could see he was devastated after the game, and he just wanted to play football again straight away to try and get out of his system. And, you know, that shows some players would just shrug that off, celebrate winning the penalty shootout. But he has his own personal standards. You knew you were dealing with a top player when he sort of bought his own. He's got his own sort of media, sort of team. He's got a full team around him, and I think that's a sign of a top quality player. That's the level Newcastle are buying now. And yeah, if he wins a national award, great. But again, it puts up the. You know, other teams will want him. It puts that side of it up. But at the minute in the Premier League, where else would he go? You wouldn't go anywhere else in the Premier League. You know, you would be talking about a Real Madrid to come in and get him. That's the sort of level it would take to do that. But seems happy at the moment, and good luck to him in the World Cup.
Yes, fingers crossed. He gets a bit more game time with Brazil. Next on the list is a fellow countryman of Bruno's, and it is Joe Linton, who, for me, he's probably been the most consistent performer, I think, this season. And just the fact that we're talking about him in this list of, you know, Newcastle United fans' football of the year nomination is quite something, given where he was even this time last season, because I don't think the Norwich game had actually happened yet when he suddenly was discovered as this Patrick Vieira-esque type midfielder. What a turnaround he's had over the last 12 months.
Yeah, it's been nothing short of remarkable, to be honest. You know, this is a player who come in for £40 million. We all know the story. He was given the number 9 shirt. that immediately put the expectation level up on him, and he struggled to live with it, to be fair. But under Eddie Howe, he just seems to have the right manager at the right time. Dropped them back to do a job in midfield, which he's done brilliantly, didn't complain about it. And this season we've seen him in, you know, the forward positions as well. Just a player you would want on your team, really. And yeah, the turnaround's been fantastic. I think wherever you play him, he's going to do a job for you now. So I think, you know, in the end, when a lot of people question 40 million, it's now looking like £40 million well spent. But he's now been well managed. And look, I think at the end of the day, it must have been hard for any player to come here. And when the club was in the doldrums, you know, under previous management, previous ownership, and it was just so difficult. Everything was a struggle. You know, going on to social media was just toxic. And, you know, we can all see it. And that, don't forget the impact that can have on players, because if they're not looking at it, someone might think they're doing them a favour by saying, have you seen this? And then they think everyone's talking about them. So it's not very nice for players sometimes when they're struggling with the social media side of it. But for him, he's rose above all that, rose all above it. And he's one of the first names on a team sheet now.
Just that last phrase there, one of the first names on the team sheet, when you say it, I think a lot of people will just be scratching their heads in amazement. I mean, I totally agree with you, and I think everyone else will as well. But just to say that, considering, again, where he was this time last year, what do you think the difference has been, Lee, for Julian? Is it solely down to Eddie Howe coming in and putting an arm around the shoulder? Was it just maybe the previous manager just totally overlooked him as a midfield enforcer? I mean, to be fair, I think everyone did. What has been the difference? Why is he now one of the first names on the team sheet?
I think first and foremost, he's had time to settle into the city, settle in the area, learn what it's all about, and obviously they've got to learn the language as well, which he now does interviews in English in the mix zone after games. You know, I think he was always prepared he always had the will to do it, but he's now just understanding what's going on around him. And I think obviously the change in manager has been to his benefit. I think Eddie Howe has got him playing probably the best football of his career so far. And you just know if you do push him up, you know he's going to cause opposition defences a problem. But yeah, I mean, I go back to that game against Norwich when he scored a couple and he was on a hat-trick and he come off, and you just think you were desperate for him to get a hat-trick. But it's, again, it's part of the management. Taking him off when he's on two goals just makes him more hungry the next game. Just little things like that that the management team seem to be on top of. So it's a combination of things, really. But ultimately, it's down to the player himself. It's like anything, isn't it? It's on you sometimes. You know, he can look himself in the mirror and knows he's given it 100%. And, you know, you can look, if he wanted to, he could have looked around for every excuse in the book. But he chose not to do that. He chose to focus on himself and, you know, go on the field and put in 100%. And the fans appreciate that. And, you know, he's reaping the benefits of being a Newcastle player now.
Yeah, 100%. He's got such an engine on him as well. He's up and down the field. He's strong as well. And I think that's one of the things that stands out for me. He's now aggressive. He's now not afraid kind of his own shadow. I think the Joe Linton of old, he always had his head down. He didn't look happy. And he looked like he would just kind of, and this is just my view, kind of walk away from any confrontation. But now what you see is, you know, I think players are scared of him when they're being chased down by him. And it's because I think he's realised, you know, he's a big guy. He's got a bit of muscle about him. And he's kind of utilising that in the role he's in now, where he's getting stuck in. And we've seen him countless times this season, towards the end of last season, where you know, who's getting in people's faces. And I think that's been a massive difference to the Joe Linton of old.
Yeah, I mean, it's the physicality side of it is a huge part of the Premier League. But, you know, if you look at his statistics at the end of each game, he probably wins about 6, 7, 8 aerial balls a game, no matter where he is, no matter what position. So statistically, he's got it. Physically, he's got it. Technique, he's got it. I mean, if there's one area he probably needs to improve on, it's probably the goals side of it. Can he get more goals? But even if he doesn't, he's contributing in other ways. So nevertheless, for all I'm talking about goals, he's on the list as one of the players of the year. So yeah, that's certainly what I think of him anyway.
Yeah, amazing that he's had such a fantastic 12 months and what a turnaround. And the same goes for the final man on the list, Lee Miguel. I mean, you're on another one, which I think if you'd asked a year ago to name the list for 2022, you know, a few people would have picked him to maybe even be at the club still, let alone on this list of the fans' football of the year. But what a season this guy had. It's kind of started towards the end of last season. He got that goal against Palace, didn't he? And, you know, we start to see the little bits of Eddie Howe magic, but this season so far, it's just been unbelievable. I mean, why is Almirón on your list for fans football of the year?
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, there was as you mentioned earlier, there was a lot of competition to feature on this. And one player who was probably neck and neck with Almirón was Fabian Schär, and I've opted for Almirón. Maybe I've been swept away with the current form, but I've got no problem with that. The season's paused at the moment, and Almirón is probably the best player in the country at the moment in terms of his goals, his assists, his performances. He's just won every award going, and I just think, you know, I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to sit down and do an interview with him a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't really spoke to him a lot because of the lockdown and things like that. And I just thought he's such a down to earth character, and he's not going to be one of these that, you know, gives it the big one on social media. He doesn't want to be one of these players who's letting his mouth go all the time. Just wants to get his head down and play for Newcastle United and do well. And off the field, you know, I spoke to him and he was talking about how he enjoys, you know, taking his little boys to the park and just things like that. He's a real family man. And I just think he's a good character to have. And yeah, I mean, even if you go back to the summer, I think Newcastle were looking at possibly players in his position. Well, you wouldn't swap him now for anybody in the Premier League at any price. Save your money, because you've already got a £100 million player on your hands at the moment, in my opinion. Again, might be getting a little bit carried away, but that's fine, because we've all seen what Almirón can do, and I think there's going to be more to come. So I would keep your money and invest in other positions, because you've got an attacking player there who's very capable at the moment.
And again, the same question as I asked you with Joe Linton, what's the difference been?
Difference, again, character, was willing to battle. If you go back to the start of the year, he wasn't actually on the team sheet. And he really come alive, I think it was against Crystal Palace, and then with the week game, got goal of the month. So, personality, again, willingness to improve. The big one for me is the tactics. Eddie Howe is encouraging the team to attack. They want to get Almirón on the ball as much as they can and get it to the areas where he likes it. Before that, he was sort of shackled by defensive duties. You know, he's having to chase back and get tackles in, which he does anyway. But then there was nothing the other way in terms of getting the ball to his feet, and he wasn't allowed to sparkle like he is now. So, yeah, I mean, I actually said it to him when I spoke to him. I just said, as journalists, we're always comparing players. It's always the next Shearer, the next Gazza, the next whoever. But at the minute, I kind of think of a player who he reminds me of, which is credit to him. He's very unique in that he's doing his own thing. He's got the work rate, the goals, the explosiveness, playing with a smile on his face. And I think that's really refreshing to see that, you know, he's not trying to be anyone else. He's just trying to be himself. And I just think it's great to see. And, you know, long may it continue, because he's another player that is on course, if he wants it, to be a legend at the club.
He seems to be having his own goal of the season competition as well. He's scored some absolute brilliant goals so far this season. Is the one that stands out above all else for you?
You've got to be looking at the one at Fulham. Just the technique. It was just one of the best goals I've seen, really. And just at Fulham, you're behind the Fulham fans. Fulham fans are all around the press box. They're quite polite fans, actually, normally. But on that day, when that goal went in, they were on their feet applauding it. And I think that wouldn't have mattered if you were at Fulham, anywhere else in the country. I think if you're not a football fan, if you wouldn't be standing up and applauding that goal, even if it's against your team. And yeah, it was an unbelievable strike. But he's got so many more as well. I quite like the one at Tottenham, the solo goal where he weaved around in the box. Obviously, the goal against Palace earlier in the year, and Everton recently as well. As you say, he's having his own competition, so he's putting the pressure on himself to do it again. But I just hope he keeps working hard.
A lot of people reference what Jack Grealish said in the summer. We're not going to dwell on it too much, but I think actually some of the tension that's been on it recently has been a little bit unfair to Almiron, because as you've mentioned with previous players that we spoke about in this episode, it's down to the player. You know, yes, Jack Grealish said what he did, but you know, there's been certain maybe pundits or fan websites who've kind of said, oh, it's down to Jack Grealish, who's really motivated, and some of it might be said in a jovial style. But, you know, let's make no mistake, the reason Almiron is doing so well, partly down to Eddie Howe, but really down to the player and his drive to improve and get better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Jack Grealish just had a rush of blood that day. I think he was obviously quite happy they'd won the league. Probably wouldn't do it again if he had his time. You know, didn't cover himself with glory, really. It can be a tough world with social media, and I think that caused unnecessary. If you've won the Premier League, you're playing for Man City, playing for England, you shouldn't need to worry about other people. You know, you shouldn't need to worry about people who may not be on top of the game. But I think if it has given any motivation, then fair enough. But I agree with you. I don't think it has. I think this is a coincidence. And I think him working on the training ground every day, wanting to get better, you know, living his life the right way. You know, he's not going out to town, or he's not living the pot. We've seen players who do come to Newcastle and, you know, make headlines for the wrong reason. Not him. Wants to do the right things off the pitch, and he's just reaping the rewards at the moment.
And just a final word on Almiron. How important, you mentioned tactics earlier when you were talking about the fact that Newcastle do play this pressing game, and you know they don't sit back and try and absorb teams as they used to under Steve Bruce, but the fact that they get in the opposition's face, they don't give them a moment to breathe. How important is that kind of style of play to what we've seen from Almiron? Because he's really been, I would say, in some people's opinion, like the most important element of this pressing approach, because he's right up there. As soon as, you know, the goalkeeper or the centre-back, we saw against, was it Brentford, didn't we? How quick closing down he was. How important is that style of play to what we've seen from him this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's crucial that you've got someone who can deliver that final product. If you know, it's no good keep pushing forward and you're not producing anything. But he's got it all, hasn't he? He can hold it up if he needs to. He can unleash a shot if he needs to. He can dribble in the box and tuck one away. And you know, as we've seen in the Chelsea game, he got a really important assist in that game. You know, it didn't get the headlines in terms of getting the goal, but I think any coach worth the salt would say if you provide the assist, you get just as much credit as a goal scorer. And he'd done his job that day without the headlines. So, yeah, long may it continue.
Fingers crossed. Four players who thoroughly deserve to be nominated for the Newcastle United Fans Football of the Year. As Lee mentioned there, Fabian Schär, there might be few of the players who are unfortunate to miss out, but you know, I think Newcastle have performed so well that you know certain players were always going to miss out, not necessarily because of not perform well, just because nearly everyone has performed so well, and we can only pick a handful of players to nominate. I've popped the comments in, I've popped the link into the comments there of where you can vote. I've also popped Lee's exclusive interview with Mel Aguilar-Meo on in the comments there for you to take a read in case you missed it first time around. Also, the link to the national vote in which Bruno Guimaraes is listed. So plenty of voting for you guys to do. Thank you, Lee, for coming out of the podcast and explaining your choices. You can head over to chroniclelive.co.uk where you can keep up to date with all the latest Newcastle United news, including some stories from Lee on sponsorships and kit manufacturers and lots more to come this week as well. Do remember to like and subscribe to the podcast through your podcast provider and on YouTube. And hit those links in the comments and make sure you vote for your Newcastle United Fans Footballer of the Year.